Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. Always live on the free Odyssey app. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Live and local from Philadelphia. Free speech lives here. Here. It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
And away we go, live on this Friday, March 15th. It is indeed Kale and Company right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Always live on the free Odyssey app. And, of course, streaming live for your video viewing pleasure on YouTube as we head until 10 o'clock this morning. 855-839-1210, the phone number. On social media at 1210 WPHT. I am at Nick Kale. Don Stenslin with the news, Greg Stocker, the chairman of the board, Phil Omquist, Anthony Dorenzo, our associate producers. We are absolutely stacked on this Friday. Our buddy Sean Farish coming up at 9 o'clock this morning. Don, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Happy Friday.
We made it to the weekend.
Yes.
The 9 o'clock hour is only 3 hours away, folks. Get ready. Gregory, how are you?
4 months and we finally got his name correct, huh?
Yes. I was texting him last night. I was like, how do I pronounce the last name? I was like, what nationality? I was like going through his Wikipedia with him last night.
That's awesome.
It was great.
Yeah.
So he'll join us coming up 9 o'clock today. We have an Aaron Rodgers rebuttal to CNN. That'll be the big take this morning. All sorts of updates for Donald Trump legally from Fulton County to Mar-a-Lago to Manhattan. We also have another ban. It's not Tic-Tac. Or TikTok, or tic-tac-toe, as Nancy Pelosi would say. But it is a website. We've been telling you it's not just apps. It's a website, and it's been banned. We'll tell you about it and where the ban is coming up a little bit later. Also, more media malpractice when it comes to a tragedy. Blame one person, find out it's not really this, but it's something else. We'll get to that. And for many years, probably for 30 years, I have thought that the NCAA is a corrupt organization. Riley Gaines feels the same way, and she is suing the pants off of him. Good for her. We'll get to that as we continue. Cut sheet will be loaded, Sean at 9 o'clock, and all sorts of good stuff along the way. All right, let's get to the news. Round number one, 603, the great Don Stenslin.
Good morning. This Friday morning, March 15th, we are... Right now, we're at 55 degrees, headed up to 70. I'll tell you when showers may begin across our region. So, Kale and Company News follow-up report as police have revealed some new details after two people were arrested in that February 29th execution-style murder of a 38-year-old woman, 49-year-old man found near the Mount Pleasant Mansion right there in Fairmount Park. We talked about it, and we had reported it, but the search had continued for the suspect or suspect. So now Philadelphia police say that they have some new details, giving this out to the media. Finally, they did arrest a man and a woman in the case, Lamar Young, 52, Philadelphia, 56-year-old Dale Johnson as well, for their suspected roles in the murders. Both Young and Johnson are charged with murder, conspiracy, related offenses, and the deaths of 38-year-old Christina Chambers and 49-year-old Thurston Cooper. So it looks like, at this point, the big headline from Philadelphia police is that there is not, was not a threat in general to the public. This is a beautiful area, and especially right now with spring, we have had some unseasonable weather. A lot of people thought, what's going on here? But these four knew each other, and that's the word from police. So they're not revealing to us the cause of the situation, but they did say the four knew each other. They left a bar together. And obviously, it's horrifying, and it's an execution-style murder, according to police. They do have two people in custody, but in all, they say there's not a danger, nor was there a danger to the general public. But again, not discussing the motive in those murders, what went wrong. So that's happening this morning.
Yeah, I was reading about this, and I'm just totally guessing. It feels like it might have either been a lover situation or possibly a drug deal gone wrong, even though they all knew each other. Mm-hmm. But that's just speculation on my part.
Well, to your point, I mean, you know, if you're having a domestic dispute and drugs are involved, never a good mix.
Correct.
We have a lot of breaking news today, so I'll get to Mayor Parker in a moment. But we did have, more shootings overnight in the city of Philadelphia. Philadelphia police searching for this gunman who opened fire inside a deli. This is Philadelphia's Nicetown section. Happened late last night. Police saying that there were about eight people inside when this gunman just opened fire at the Junction Beer Deli there on North 20th Street. One person struck twice in the leg, reports of a second person being hit in the hand. But we don't have, according to police, there's no victim that has shown up in any hospital. So there's that going on. The police and detectives reviewing that surveillance footage from inside the deli, which they hope may lead them to that shooter. So the search is on. Obviously, the search is still on, that $5,000 reward still on for the 17-year-old, the fourth suspect involved in the shooting, allegedly involved in that one shooting last Wednesday that struck eight Philadelphia school students. And there was another community meeting last night. We've had a couple this week as families, community members, students are coming forth demanding that the city do something. That brings me to Philadelphia Mayor, the new mayor, Sherelle Parker, quite a passionate speech, budget address that she gave yesterday. And at one point, she talked about needle exchanges and no new needles.
Oh, good.
So no new taxes and no new needles.
And didn't you say she's going to enforce the laws, right?
That's right. What she says. Yeah. So right, we're not defunding the police. We're refunding the police.
Okay.
Yeah. A lot of passionate speeches.
Yeah, yes. I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
A lot of talk. So getting rave reviews. So we're following this,
yep.
And we're objectively saying Mayor Parker there. Now, you know that in the city of Philadelphia, oftentimes Kenny administration, Mayor Jim Kenny, in his last address, he had made cuts in the budget. There are no new cuts, but there are new taxes.
Okay.
So I'll headline it that way for you. And reversing a city commitment to support the building of those tiny houses. Remember that pilot project? We're going to have these tiny houses that we're going to pay for those experiencing homelessness. That's not going to happen.
Didn't you say let's get rid of the term Philadelphia for once and for all?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. That's another proposal which I, as a city resident, actually love that she's considering in some areas. Garbage collection, not once, but twice a week.
Oh.
Twice a week. Oh, yeah. Like that.
Woo.
Yeah.
Now all the husbands out there got to bring the cans out twice a week.
That's right, Lair Bear.
Yeah, that's a little too much to ask of us, I got to tell you.
What? What else you do?
Nothing.
Come on. So.
A lot of talk.
Yeah. Passion is great, yep. But you're judged on if you produce.
Agreed.
Well, this is true. It's a $6.3 billion city budget. And all the headlines say no new tax increases. So she's calling it her One Philly budget, multi-billion dollar plan with more money for schools, more money for police, and community initiatives as well. So we'll parse that, no doubt, as we go through the day here on Kale & Company News Live. There's a lot going on today, obviously, on the national front. So we'll talk certainly about Trump in court yesterday. Alec Baldwin also in court, alleged, he's still facing that Rust Set shooting that turned deadly. And so he was in court yesterday as well, saying he wants all charges dismissed. Mm. But an interesting day, obviously, for Trump in two courts, still watching Georgia and what the judge will do today. So, Nick, I'm sorry you did not get your wish yesterday.
That's okay. Rogers will carry us for the big take today. I'm hoping McAfee drops his ruling today, and we will have that for Monday's big take.
So
you know when it'll happen. It'll happen at like 10:03 this morning.
During the Dawn Show.
During the Dawn Show.
That's why you have to stay tuned.
Everything breaks.
Radio station, all day long.
Yes.
But if it's...
Even at work, ladies and gentlemen. Can I just say that one more time? Please listen at work. Thank you.
But if it's not, if it's 4:59, how late are the courts open in Atlanta? Probably 4:59?
Yeah, probably 5 o'clock.
Then we know that it's not going to be a popular decision, perhaps.
Oh,
the later it goes, the worse it is for Fani.
Friday news dump, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So let's get to the real quick forecast here this Friday morning, March 15th. It's a big St. Paddy's Day weekend. As we think about the parade's not this weekend, it was last weekend, but a lot of celebrations for the luck of the Irish. So 57 we've warmed up to. Today's high is going to be 70 degrees. We do have some sprinkles moving through the region. So it looks like later in the day, the rain will hold off for morning, mid-morning. However, it looks like the rain moves in, but we will see some bright spots. It's not a washout, Greg Stocker.
Thank you.
Even though it's a mostly cloudy day. Yeah. However, for the weekend, the sun comes back, and it looks like 63 tomorrow and 61 for your Sunday, Saturday being the better day. Sunday, there is a chance later in the day for some showers, sprinkles to move through, but certainly a lot of sunshine this weekend. So very mild, even this weekend, even though we had 77 degrees yesterday. Oof. This weekend and today, these are mild temperatures. Normally we're in the 50s. This is Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:11 on this Friday morning. Let's wrap up the week with one last big take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
And it's brought to you by Budget Blinds, the big take, Rogers Rebuttal. CNN was once dubbed the most trusted name in news. From their TV coverage of events such as the O.J. Simpson trial to having reporters on the ground covering wars, they were the gold standard. Now they are in last place in the ratings. They've thrown away their journalistic integrity, and they've become a mouthpiece for left-wingers and the DNC. Trump broke their brains, and they've never recovered since he left office. They have bloated salaries, hosts with zero personality, and a ton of CEOs and brand managers trying to figure out how do we repair what is now broken. But they still exist because they bring in a ton of revenue through advertising, even though MSNBC has the market cornered for left-wing media. The fake news, as Trump has dubbed them, is always looking for their next villain, the next boogeyman. And even when it's not a Republican, they love to pounce on anyone who doesn't regurgitate the Democrats' talking points. Enter New York Jets quarterback Aaron Rodgers, the California kid, the star of the Big Apple. CNN anchor Pamela Brown dropped a bombshell this week claiming that Aaron Rodgers told her in 2013 at a Kentucky Derby after party that Rodgers believed the Sandy Hook school shooting was a false flag. Nobody died, these children never existed, and the parents were crisis actors. Alex Jones spewed that nonsense, and he has ever since had his pants sued off. The horrific tragedy from 2012 absolutely happened. However, for some strange reason, Pamela Brown decided to wait almost 12 years to share this private conversation that allegedly occurred in 2013, now in 2024, only a day or so after it was reported that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is considering Aaron Rodgers and Jesse the Body Ventura as potential vice president running mates. The timing, purely coincidental, right? No, in actuality, it's because anyone not voting for Biden is a threat to Biden. Aaron Rodgers has always been a bit aloof, but never vilified, ridiculed, and criticized by the mainstream media until he decided not to get the COVID-19 vaccine in 2021. Most NFL players did get vaccinated. Aaron Rodgers did not. And the Packers quarterback at the time was vocal about it. His wording might have been a bit misleading, but nonetheless, he stood up for what he believed, and he had a lot to lose. A $50 million quarterback, one of the top three quarterbacks in the game, arguably one of the faces of the league, but kudos to him, and he was right. Oh, by the way, it was his choice all along. But on that day, he became persona non grata to the media and the left, and now it's gotten worse. He's endorsed third-party choice independent RFK Jr., and RFK Jr. has reportedly considered him as a top choice. It won't happen for either. It's largely just an ego stroke, and it's going to get headlines and clicks, but it doesn't give CNN the right to smear the man further, all because he thinks differently than you. He's also a Cal Berkeley guy, so he's quite intelligent. But yesterday, Rodgers offered his rebuttal. Aaron Rodgers tweeted the following at 12:48 p.m., quote, "As I'm on the record saying in the past, what happened in Sandy Hook was an absolute tragedy. I am not and have never been of the opinion that the events did not take place. Again, I hope that we learn from this and other tragedies to identify the signs that will allow us to prevent unnecessary loss of life. My thoughts and prayers continue to remain with the families affected, along with the entire Sandy Hook community," end quote. So does that satisfy CNN and the left? Who loves going after the Jets quarterback? Not enough? Okay, here's more. This was Aaron Rodgers in 2012 or 2013 after the Sandy Hook shooting on ESPN Radio 540 in Milwaukee when he was still with the Green Bay Packers. Listen and watch this clip.
But from lawmakers to celebrities, the whole country really is talking about the people and what happened in Newtown.
Yeah, and Aaron Rodgers getting in on that as well today. He shares what he hopes will come from this tragedy.
I hope that we can learn from this and look for the signs more and not ever have something like this happen and keep this on our minds, because these are things that affect all of us directly or indirectly, and this needs to be something that we learn from.
That was Rodgers on his own radio show, a show he did as a player on a weekly basis while in Green Bay. So he said that publicly in 2013. He tweeted his view again yesterday in 2024. But CNN is reporting something he allegedly said from a private source that hasn't been verified that runs to the contrary. It doesn't add up, and it lacks authenticity, in my opinion. And when you look at the timing of Rodgers and RFK, I think that is the explanation. But that didn't stop CNN. That didn't stop Charles Barkley and Gayle King from sharing their views on the show that not really anybody watches these days on Wednesday nights on CNN. Listen and watch this clip.
CNN, Aaron Rodgers has also been a very noted vaccine skeptic. It was reported on Jake's show, Jake Tapper's show, that he also had some conspiracy theories about Sandy Hook. Now, I feel very strongly about that. Sandy Hook, the school shooting in Connecticut, in Sandy Hook Elementary in Newtown, Connecticut. Several children died, 26 people, 20 of them children. They were little six-year-olds, still had their baby teeth. The fact that he could say he's told people, this is according to reporting earlier this evening, that he thought it was a government inside job and that those children were actors.
That's insane.
I think it's insane. And I also think, Charles, it's so painful and so hurtful. I interviewed many of those families. There is no way anybody could believe that they were actors. And I hope that's not how Aaron feels today. But the fact that he even said that back then, I think, is very troubling.
Yeah, I think that other fool, Alex Jones, lost some money. First of all, that is just, it's crazy.
Yes,
anybody who thinks that, you hope nobody ever thinks that.
Yes.
And it's just painful for the parents. And
that's all I could think about is the pain that it causes.
But anybody who thinks that, I would think they would be insane. I'm not going to lie. You have to be insane to think that.
And for the record, Aaron Rodgers declined comment tonight, which also says to me, if somebody said that about me and I hadn't said anything like that.
Well, I bet he did decline.
If I'm CNN, I would be worried about a lawsuit. There is no evidence that Aaron Rodgers ever said this. Now a CNN anchor reports this 11 years later with no proof. CNN better hope they don't get the deadspin treatment like Karan J. Phillips did for labeling that 9-year-old Chiefs fan a racist. You would think CNN would learn. They just had to correct a story after accusations of smear campaigns against Alabama Republican Senator Katie Britt. Per Fox News, CNN was forced to issue a correction to its reporting this week aimed at discrediting a portion of Republican Alabama Senator Katie Britt's State of the Union rebuttal last week, in which she included the tragic story about an unnamed sex trafficking victim to emphasize the effects of the ongoing border crisis. That victim of sex trafficking was later identified as Carla Jacinto, who faced immense brutality from the ages of 12 to 16 at the hands of traffickers in Mexico, which Britt detailed in her rebuttal. CNN paraded Jacinto in front of its audience over the weekend last weekend with an appearance on the network and in a subsequent story in which it made a number of claims attempting to derail Britt's portrayal of the story. However, those claims ran in stark contrast to past reporting on Jacinto, as well as her own words. In its piece following the weekend interview with Jacinto, CNN wrote that Britt inaccurately said she met one-on-one with Jacinto. However, Britt never claimed in her rebuttal to have had a one-on-one meeting, only stating that she spoke with Jacinto while traveling to the border in Texas. When reached for commentary on the inaccuracy, CNN responded that it had corrected the piece to reflect it was Jacinto's view that Britt claimed the two met one-on-one and not the outlets. Quote, clarification, this story has been updated to clarify the circumstances of Britt's meeting with Jacinto. A note at the bottom of the story now reads. So will another correction or apology be on the way from the three-letter network at CNN? I would hope so. The lesson here, CNN remains the most untrusted name in fake news. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
All right, Big Take this morning. If you want to jump in, thoughts and reactions, you can certainly do so. 855-839-1210 on social media at 1210 WPHT. And, of course, in the Kale & Company comment community on YouTube. The Big Take brought to you by Budget Blinds. Spring is coming, and now is the time to budget. Budget Blinds is your one-stop shop for blinds, shades, shutters, custom drapery, and motorization. Visit budgetblinds.com for a free in-home consultation and the only no-questions-asked warranty in the business, budgetblinds.com. Nick, Dawn, and Greg, we're back after this on this Friday morning. It's Kale & Company.
It's Kale & Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Kale & Company, good to have all of you in. Nick, Dawn, and Greg, it's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Get us on the free Odyssey app. Watch us live on YouTube. And you can be heard, 855-839-1210, at 1210 WPHT on social media, and, of course, in the Kale & Company comment community. Just go to youtube.com/@1210WPHT. Hit the like and subscribe buttons. We will get to all the details from everything that transpired in three different cases yesterday with Donald Trump. You know, the Bengals had that song. It was called Manic Monday. We're calling today a Fonny Friday. And we'll see if we get some rulings from Scott McAfee on his own self-imposed deadline on whether or not he will disqualify Fannie Willis as the prosecutor of this case. But I do want to get everybody's thoughts on what happened yesterday with Aaron Rodgers and CNN. Dawn, you're the journalist of this show. You're the reporter. You have all the protocols and the standard operating procedures. And this, to me, feels incredibly flimsy that you have Pamela Brown, this CNN journalist, who decided to be quiet about this for well over a decade. And then all of a sudden we hear Aaron Rodgers, RFK Jr., he could be his running mate. And now there's really nobody out there that can verify this story other than the one person that was with Pamela Brown. Nobody's talked about it since the day that happened. And now conveniently it's in the news cycle and it's quickly become the number one story on social media.
Yeah. And the fact, to your point, that, you know, Aaron Rodgers is a public guy. The fact that nobody, you know, on all the shows he's been on, all the reporters he's around, nobody has ever said this before.
Nope.
It's not like the guy is, an isolationist living in a cave exactly.
Well, he does do that from time to time in the off season when he goes dark for a while to recharge his body.
Yeah, that's true. But it just, you know, I think you used the word, you know, talking about inconsistencies with people. The fact that he is somebody who's outspoken and nobody ever heard him speak out about that, what's likely, I still go with, you know, something, because we lightly touched on this yesterday, I still go with the fact that I believe that he's talking to somebody who's a reporter. And so he said that when you look at the timeline of Alex Jones and his crazy, you know, his horrific conspiracy theory. I mean, I know a lot of people. There are some things that people like about Alex Jones.
Well, he is right. He has been right in the past on certain things. Right. But he was way off on this one.
But this was horrible because you're talking about people who have to have a funeral for their children.
Yep.
And it was just horrible. So, you know, it was shocking that Alex Jones said that. And so I think that's a fair thing. They're at an after party and he goes, man, what do you think about that? What do you think about that whole story? And the guy says it was made up. Or the guy, he's asking her. He's being a provocateur. He's having a conversation. I don't think he was saying, I believe this or I buy into it, because that story was just being told by Jones.
Yeah.
Who, yes, later was sued in order to pay in the courts, as Charles Barkley goes, I think that guy.
What's his name? Alex? What was Alex that? Trebek? What's his name? Gail, help me out here.
So for the two of them, and Gail knows better. I mean, Charles Barkley is the personality, but for her to put that forth without at least saying, hey, Aaron Rodgers, there's no other report of that. You know, could do some fact checking. Mm-hmm. It's not that difficult to do. So shame on Gail. Charles is half of the country, right? So Charles is what people do. Oh, what?
Yeah.
What? Trump raped a woman.
Right.
He's criminally in court because George Stephanopoulos, you know, said it 9/11 times on ABC News. So, oh, you know, that Charles reaction is the problem with those who put forth these lies.
Well, yeah, uninformed and just spouting off, shooting from the hip, and you believe everything you're told because you saw it on your iPhone.
And so he's reacting in a way. His reaction, if this were all true, his reaction is warranted. The problem is there's no evidence of it.
Yeah.
It's just made up.
And notice, too, how when Gail King was talking in the beginning of that clip before they actually get to Rodgers and his alleged commentary on Sandy Hook, I think she said something to the effect of noted anti-vaxxer or vaccine skeptic. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they automatically, if you're talking about B, they always want to make sure they mention A as the way they describe you, because Aaron Rodgers didn't get the COVID-19 shots. So that will forever be like his, it's not Mr. Aaron Rodgers or Mrs. Aaron Rodgers. It's anti-vaxxer Aaron Rodgers. That's they might as well just put it on his birth certificate now in the media.
Yeah.
Which is just ridiculous.
No, you're right. And I mean, yesterday I had a man call in, Tom, very nice man. And after George Stephanopoulos said that on ABC over and over and over about, and this is to the point of misinformation and disinformation. And he clearly believed, you know, people believe these lies. Why? Because somebody like Gail says it, or Stephanopoulos, George said it, so it must be true.
Mm-hmm.
And so this leads, first of all, if you then fact check, then you realize, oh gosh, how long have these people been making all this up?
Mm-hmm.
So for anybody who says, well, they all deserve it, they must have done something, well, just wait till they come to your door.
Right. Yeah.
Because it all comes home. Mm-hmm. And so Charles Barkley, really? Just wait till you say something that they don't like. They're going to come after you, and then you'll know.
Yeah, and Charles Barkley should know better than anybody, because when he was an athlete, he hated the media at times. He didn't like the portrayal away and the coverage that he received when he would say certain things. Remember, he said, I'm not a role model. He got killed for that. He tossed somebody through a glass window when he was in Philadelphia at a bar because he was being heckled at a restaurant or whatever. Like, so Charles Barkley should know better of all people out there, right? With the way the media can portray you and brand you in a certain light.
Yeah, so, well said.
It's unbelievable. 855-839-1210, the number. Okay, so it's a very big day for Donald Trump. We'll see what happens in Fulton County. A lot of stuff yesterday. I've got so many stories here in front of me. This might take 2 hours just to go through all of this. So let's start, first of all, with Atlanta and Fulton County for today. I thought this was interesting. A defense attorney, and we'll play you the clip in a moment, was on MSNBC saying that if the judge decides to pull District Attorney Fannie Willis from the Trump case, it could be the death knell for the case. quote, "I don't know that there are many other prosecutors in the state of Georgia that would want to take on this case." Let's take a listen. Greg, this is K1. I think we have some video as well. So if you're on YouTube, you'll see this clip. This is defense attorney Caroline Polisi. Hopefully I didn't butcher that last name. Not Pelosi, by the way. She was on MSNBC on Wednesday talking about just how unsavory this case is and what the ramifications would be if Fani gets shown the door. Take a listen and watch this.
Certainly, his decision on the disqualification, as we all know, does not kill the case in and of itself. He wouldn't dismiss the indictment. It would just be reassigned to sort of a governing body in Georgia to then be reassigned. However, I myself feel, and many other people feel, that that would, in effect, essentially be the death knell for this case, because, another time when Fani Willis was removed from a case in this very case for a conflict of interest, that case is still languishing at that body. It hasn't been reassigned yet. I don't know that there are many other prosecutors in the state of Georgia that would want to take on this case, that have the resources, the expertise. And so this, could be sort of death by a thousand cuts.
So that was her commentary on MSNBC. Now, also yesterday in Florida, Fort Pierce, Florida, we had the Mar-a-Lago classified documents case. And I was following some of the journalists yesterday on social media that had access to the courthouse and were reporting on this. And in this case, for the classified documents case, courtesy of Julie Kelly, she tweeted the following yesterday from the Florida courthouse in Trump's classified document case. She was basically saying that the Robert Hur report and the testimony from that case with Joe's classified documents has quickly become the biggest elephant in the room with Trump's classified documents case. And the judge, Eileen Cannon, repeatedly used the term arbitrary enforcement, as well as prosecutors and defense attorneys uttering that term. That became the most popular term throughout the proceedings yesterday. Cannon hammered the fact that no former president or vice president has been charged under the Espionage Act for taking and keeping classified records, including national defense information, which represents 32 of the counts against Trump in the Jack Smith indictment. Julie Kelly, the reporter, went on to say she offered a prediction saying that Cannon won't dismiss the case based on the motions that were debated today, the vagueness of the Espionage Act and protection under the Presidential Records Act. But it's very likely that this will end up being dismissed. If the case gets dismissed, it'll be dismissed on the basis of selective prosecution, which is a motion that is still pending from the Trump team before her. So I thought that was a very important revelation yesterday. And then, of course, we have the Alvin Bragg stuff that dropped last night, as now that case, which was supposed to start next Monday, March 25th, will have another 30-day delay because the federal prosecutors handed over 73,000 pages of discovery that no legal team could possibly comb through in the next 10 days. So that won't start now until the end of April. So we got all sorts of stuff going on right now. Trump's head's spinning. Lawyers' heads are spinning. My head is spinning. But I will say this. Think about this right now with the totality of these cases. We just had three charges against Trump that were tossed out earlier this week. We have prosecutors and attorney generals that have campaigned on getting Trump. Bragg, who doesn't prosecute violent crimes in his own city, is trying to lift a misdemeanor to a felony after the statute of limitations expired. Willis, Fani, I mean, she's out there banging special prosecutors, having sexual relations with people in a cabin to the tune of $650,000 after claiming there was no office sex with colleagues under her watch if she was elected. We have Trump being charged with documents while Joe wasn't. And to my knowledge right now at this point, other than Letitia James and Enger Moron to the tune of $480 million, right now, outside of, honestly, the money that Trump's going to have to cough up, you have to look at this right now. And I think if you're looking at it objectively, there's not a lot of momentum for many of these prosecutors or these attorney generals. Now, it's not to say that Trump's going to evade conviction in the other 88 charges that are still pending. That would be like, hitting Powerball. But he's winning the delay battle And the momentum is more on his side right now. Like, if you're just reading the tea leaves, these prosecutors, they're getting hit with everything right now. And I don't think any of them are sitting back today and saying, it's going as we anticipated. That's my read on all these cases right now. Did anything stand out to you yesterday? Because I know you and Anthony were probably tracking this in real time.
Yeah, we were. And there was so much breaking. Sherelle Park, the mayor, was speaking in that more than an hour budget address. So we were going between the local stories, the searches for suspects in Philadelphia, and then on the national front, looking at, and Nick, the weird thing about it yesterday, I said, wouldn't it be a perfect day if you had all three cases? In other words, Manhattan, Georgia, and the Mar-a-Lago, the Florida case, if they're all, you know, delayed. And I wished for the Alvin Bragg. So I really, in a way, I got my wish, mm-hmm. I will say, because I believe that all of these will go away. I do. I think that Trump, I don't think he'll be convicted of anything. I think all of these will, and this is the problem with it. If it goes on in the courts, you have appeal after appeal after appeal, and this could go on for years. And so when does it end?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's another problem. The other issue that I think is that the Robert Hur, and we're still going through the actual full report, not just the first, you know, several hundred page report.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the Robert Hur report, I do think that they can look at that. They can point to that even in court as a precedent,
mm-hmm.
because of what Judge Cannon asked yesterday. It's a fair question to say, why is it that no other president? I mean, we've had other alleged shenanigans, and we just, you know, see the tangible evidence of even current President Joe Biden, where Robert Hur said yes. Did he do something that was improper? Yes. Does it rise to the occasion of then filing charges and then going through with, you know, fully, you know, prosecuting this person?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer was, the conclusion was no.
Right.
And I think that weighs heavily on any judge, because this becomes a slippery slope. Do you want every president of the United, and then how far back can we go?
Right.
Can we go? Do we really want Clinton, Obama? I mean, you know what, Jimmy Carter? I mean, is this where we want to go?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think this is how, I mean, the lawyers always win. Zioli, yeah. You know, always said that, yeah. For years, right? The lawyers get paid. The lawyers win, as Fani Willis tells us. And the prosecution is the one that, you know, that then can, I guess, set the pay schedule.
Yeah.
So these lawyers make a ton of money.
They do. Trump went to Truth Social yesterday after his day in court and posted the following, and this is specifically about Manhattan. He says, quote, "The things that took place at the Manhattan DA's office in conjunction with people from the DOJ put in charge of, quote, getting Trump are truly a sight to behold. They illegally withheld thousands of pages of documents. Then you have the really shady Pomerantz issue, and wow, people have never seen anything like this one. This will make Fani and her lover look like small potatoes."
Ouch.
He also goes on to say, this is from his team, "President Trump and his counsel have been consistent and steadfast that this case has no basis in law or fact and should be dismissed. Today, after conceding serious discovery violations by his office, the Manhattan DA agreed to an adjournment. We will continue to fight to end this hoax and all of the other crooked Joe Biden-directed witch hunts once and for all." That's Stephen Chung, Trump's campaign communications director. So we will sit and wait, and we will see what happens today. Again, the judge in the Fulton County case, Scott McAfee, gave his own self-imposed deadline for this week. So something between now and presumably 5 p.m. But I do think it was interesting that you said about the timing of it, because if they do dismiss her and she's booted off of the case, is this something that kind of gets pushed out once people have, quote, checked out for the day and have kind of started their weekend? Or is this a bombshell that's going to drop right in the main news cycle of the day? Because if this comes out at 6:15 on a Friday night, that's intentional, in my opinion. I think you're onto something there.
Because he's up for reelection, Matt, so he's probably, you know, there's a political side to this for everybody involved. And so, but I think that he must say that she's disqualified. But remember, in the case itself, he just said, I think he set up her disqualification, because not only the other day, did he basically say her work was sloppy and incomplete? It's an ink, like when you're in high school and the teacher puts a big I, incomplete, but I'll give you a chance to resubmit your homework. She didn't do the work. She was sloppy. He set that up. He set the table for today to then say she's disqualified. The case can go on, just not with her.
Correct.
Then that basically, to by all accounts, you would have to bring somebody else in.
Oh, you're starting the whole thing over again.
Right? Now
the whole clock.
All the timelines change.
Yep.
I don't see that they could ever get this through before next November.
I would agree. 855-839-1210. If you want to jump in, 855-839-1210. We have so many good stories to get to today. On the other side, we will wrap up the 6 o'clock hour as the CEO of TikTok yesterday all of a sudden goes silent. We will get to that as we conclude the 6 o'clock hour next. Nick, Dawn, and Greg live here on this Friday morning. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
You know, yesterday I'm at the car wash. You think about all the cars, all your vehicles, what they've been through this winter. Maybe you're planning some road trips this summer and you're thinking, you know what? I've earned it. I deserve it. I want something a little bit nicer. I want the upgrade before I hit the road. That really brings me to our friends at Piazza Premium Automobiles. They continue to grow their luxury collection of brands, and Piazza excited to welcome in these two newest members to their big family and growing family of dealerships, Infinity Ardmore, Maserati of the Mainline, both located right there on Lancaster Avenue. You're going to receive the same first-class customer experience that, you know, I've come to expect, you've come to expect from the Piazza Auto Group and the Piazza family of dealerships. And that includes these Piazza premium automobiles. So find your newer certified pre-owned Infiniti, Maserati, or other Piazza luxury brands like Jaguar, Land Rover, Mercedes-Benz, BMW, and more. PiazzaPremiumAutos.com, P-I-A-Z-Z-A, PiazzaPremiumAutos.com.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Friday morning, I'm picking up on a musical theme today. Greg Stocker at the Wheels of Steel.
Yeah, this might not be everybody's cup of tea for Irish music, but it's mine.
I am 50% Irish, so I co-sign this, sir.
Dropkick Murphys and the Pogues is how I choose to start today's program.
Yep. And we're just not shipping up to Boston, though.
No.
We're just going to stay here in this city. 855-839-1210. Quick update to wrap up the hour on TikTok. As the CEO of TikTok yesterday was on Fox Business, and he refused to answer if the Chinese government has influence over the platform as Congress is mulling this ban. We know the vote went through in the House, 352-65. It is now in the hands of the Senate. We will see how that plays out. But you guys asked me yesterday if my daughters are aware of the potential ban of TikTok, and I told you no. Well, after the show, I spoke with them. I don't know, this was about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They got wind of it, and we've got a mixed bag of results. Olivia goes, that's fine. I have Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. I don't need TikTok. So that was cool. And then Mia gave me the complete opposite reaction. She thought that, you know, we had the Santa Claus conversation, and she had a meltdown. I mean, she was just literally like, so, like, they're really going to take, and I'm like, Kristen, who told them about this? And she just was kind of mum about it. So I think Kristen somehow let the cat out of the bag. So I've got one daughter that thinks the world's coming to an end, and the other one's like, yeah, I'll just move on to the next thing to distract me. So that's your update. By the way, and just to go to show, goes to show how awful social media is for young people and adults as well. I've got a stat here from Gallup in 2023. Did you know that the average American teenager spends 4.8 hours a day on social media?
Cool.
And how about this?
How much does Nick Cale spend on social media?
About the same.
So you're like a big teenager, basically.
Yeah, in a lot of ways I am. Yeah, you're absolutely right. The average 17-year-old girl spends nearly 6 hours per day on social media.
That's why I get them into sports.
That's healthy. Yeah, exactly. Exactly, Dawn.
It's just awful.
Take the phone, throw it out the window, say, go out and play.
I mean, four, Susie, five, six Johnny. Hours. You could have a part-time job in that time stretch.
Yep.
Making some money. Unbelievable. So that courtesy of Gallup. 855-839-1210 to jump in. Dawn will have some news coming up to kick off hour number two. And one website now blocked in Texas. We told you this was going to happen. Wait till we tell you about the site. It's pretty interesting. It's Kale and Company. Hour two is next. Stay right there.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.